If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. You examine that passage, and when it's spoken, the people of God have stumbled upon the law. They're going through what we would consider an archaeological dig, and they stumble upon the law, and joy, happiness, begins to well up in them. They have finally reconnected with the Word of God. They are instructed to eat the fat and drink the sweet and not to be sorrowful anymore. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's telling us that the more we stay in the Word of God, joy increases. It builds in us. You're looking for ways to become happier. Get in the Word of God. The joy of the Lord makes you stronger. And then God even says in the proverb, he teaches us that merry hearts do good. Then he puts in the like a medicine. Are you hearing me? I'm not teaching that now, but I sure would like to. Because too many Christians are miserable. If you're miserable this morning, raise your hand. If you are miserable this morning, rehearse joy. Jump. Leap. Get it stirred up. When I was a young boy, we used to have a club. We called them Greek clubs. And we would go to other girl clubs, houses, and dance. And before we went to the house, we would go around 23rd and Edgley, and we would practice our dances on the corner. And we kind of get around everybody and while they were doing their thing, because we wanted to go to the party or the gathering already charged up. You come to church, but you're not ready. And that's why the worship team has to work so hard. See, the bartender don't have to work hard if you're a real drunk. You already come in with a couple tastes. You get ready for the club. And see, you shouldn't come to church expecting them to pump you. You should come in expecting them to continue what you started at home. So if you're miserable, get your party on. I mean, come on, don't discern today. Just enjoy. Just thank God for waking you up. Just thank God for bringing your children home. Just thank God for filling you with the Spirit. Just thank God for healing and touching your body. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about situations. Just right now, for about 10 seconds, give God praise for what he's done for you. Just forget everything. Now, how do you miserable people feel? I don't know about you, but I just believe that God is about to show that he's God. I searched this Bible, and I have never found him to lose. I have found instances where it appears that his children will not have the victory in the moment. But I've learned he creates those moments to show you how large he is. But he can only intervene in praising situations. Now, I know the devil's mad because he wants you to just sit there and be all sour. And I don't believe that. I refuse to accept that. Do you understand that Jesus was a descendant of the tribe of Judah? Not Levi, not Ephraim, but Judah. Now, in the economy of God, everything makes sense in the spiritual realm. Why was Jesus a descendant of the tribe of Judah? Because Judah means praise. And so, since you are connected to the ultimate praise machine, praise ought to come out your mouth more than complaining. Praise ought to come out your spirit more than frustration. Praise ought to come out of your being more than anything else. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing. I don't want to hear what the devil is doing. I have victory in spite of the devil. I have victory in spite of church people. I have victory in spite of my circumstances. I'm on top even when it looks like I'm on the bottom. I am healed even when it looks like I'm sick. I am delivered even if it looks like I'm in bondage. For my future position has nothing to do with my present circumstance. Hallelujah. When you go on a trip, you don't pack for where you are, you pack for where you're going. If you're like me, you get a weather report, you get a book, you find out about that location. So when you get off that plane, you have some knowledge as to where you're going. Well, that's why you have that Bible. You have that Bible so that you can ignore where you are and begin to prepare for where you're going. If you're going to victory, rehearse your praise. If you're going to healing, believe Isaiah 53. If you're going to prosperity, grab hold of Deuteronomy 28. If you believe that God is with you, go to Psalm 100 and give him praise. If you believe, don't let the devil think that he has you. Get yourself together. Tell your neighbor, get yourself together. I need you to hear me. There are times God wakes me up, I get nothing spiritual. I get something completely secular. And today, he woke me up. He said, turn on TV. I thought he was going to have me look at the Word Network. He said, nope, turn it on. And Raging Bull was on. I said, God, I got to preach. I can't be watching no Raging Bull. I said, why do you want me to watch this stupid movie full of all kind of innuendo? He said, I don't want you to watch the movie. I want you to watch the fight. What the heck are you talking about? Jake was getting his behind whooped. I'm looking. I said, all right, what are you trying to tell me? I'm going to get my behind whooped today. I said, let me reach for my other angel and bring him to church with me. But then Jake came back and knocked the guy down 3 times. He said, that's what I need you to see. Turn off television. Everybody thought he was out. But his brother in the corner said, all right, stop playing around with this guy. Tell your neighbor, stop playing around with the devil. Tell him, knock him out. All right, now he's been beating on you for 10 rounds. Knock him out. Say, how am I knock him out? Let that praise out of your spirit. He thought you were down. He thought you were beat. He thought you were depressed. He thought you were oppressed. Let him know, I got one more praise. I got one more praise. I got one more praise that's going to come out of me. You took something from me, but I'm taking it back this morning. I got one more praise. Knock him out. Glory! Watch this. If you fully understand the work of the Holy Spirit, why he's here, what he gives to us, The enemy knows he can't take you out of the hand of God, but he wants to do is make your existence miserable. It's like being married. You marry for life. You marry for life. You are committed for life. That's the biblical concept. You are committed for life. All right, things happen and life is short. And so you leave it. It happens. It's not the unpardonable sin. But you are committed for life. There is a connection that comes with a husband and wife that's almost like your connection with God. Almost. Sister Lambert and I just celebrated our wedding anniversary. And people come up and congratulate us for the amount of time that we've been together. And I tell them not to do that. I'm insulted. Oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, do you walk up to a parent and thank them for staying the parent to that child? Oh, this is my mother. How long has she been your mother? Ooh, thank God y'all still together. What the heck? You see, when you enter into covenant, covenant doesn't have a break. Covenant is eternal. It says that even when I'm right and you're wrong, I'm going to tolerate your wrong until you come to my right. Why? Because you enter into that covenant that says, regardless of what happens, I ain't going nowhere. What's the point? The next person is going to be the same way. So you just keep fishing and catching and throwing it back, fishing, catching, throwing it back. Yeah. That's how it is with God. I ain't coming to church no more because God didn't give me that job. You ain't qualified for the job. What's he supposed to do? Give you 8 years of education in 15 minutes just because you prayed? Why is the Holy Ghost here? Praise God. Hallelujah. Teach me to dance. Teach me tongues. Do you understand our enemy? Oversaturation of spiritual truths can cause people to become numb to it, and then they lose their joy for it. We have desensitized people to tongues because we talk in them so much without interpretation to appear to be spiritual. Questa mattina sono molto stanco. Ieri sono andato a dormire. How many of you are blessed? I just outlined my yesterday for you. How many of you are blessed? I mean, come on, why ain't you quickening? I just talked in tongues. Why aren't you up dancing? Why are you sitting there? Then why when somebody gets up and talks in tongues, you don't have the slightest idea what they're saying. You go off in the spirit. Why? Paul told the Corinthians, when you do that, the world is going to think you're nuts. So what do these worldly comedians do? They get up and they imitate our tongues. Because we cast our pearls before swine. When you speak in tongues, it ought to have interpretation so the people can be edified. If it's for you, speak to yourself all you want to. In my prayer time, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But it's in my prayer time. My edification comes with building myself up as the Holy Spirit energizes But if I stand up here and speak in tongues while I'm preaching, what good is it doing you? What good is it doing you? What are you gaining? I can preach the whole sermon in Italian, and you'd walk out of here empty. What makes us think that tongue talking is a high spiritual virtue? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and don't love, he said, all I'm doing is making noise. I want practical Christianity. Something that will last when I leave the church. All the quickening and all the other external things don't mean anything. God isn't pleased with all of that. The prophet says, how should I please the Lord? What will ultimately please God? He said, is God pleased when I come with rivers of oil and an abundant amount of sacrifices? He says, no, this is what pleases the Lord, that you walk before him in honesty, that you love people in purity, and that you walk with humility. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do, to teach you what you need to please God. I want this church to go with me. Jesus didn't come teaching spacey stuff. He came to teach practical things. Things that will last when you're in a storm. I want to bring Bethel Deliverance International Church back to the Bible. Not to voices. Not to personal expectations. Not to a myriad of individual desires that lead us to confusion and separation, but to following the voice of one leader. We've discovered that the Holy Spirit empowers us. In Acts 1:8, he gives us power. We've discovered that he strengthens us in Ephesians 3:14-16. Today we want to examine the fact that he renews us. I need you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you remember the day when mommy became mama or mother? Do you remember the day when daddy became dad? I remember that day when my daughter stopped saying daddy. Broke my heart as I graduated to dad. She was very little. This is my daddy. She reached 16. We were in the mall walking, and I put my arm around her. She said, Dad, don't do that. She says, some boy might see me. And I thought, yeah, he can see you. I'll just put his eyes out, but he can see you. I mean, but I had to, you know, things changed because she grew older, and her perception changed. I was still dad. Even till this day, I'm dad. Hi, Dad. I'm not daddy anymore because she grew. I remember the day when my godson would hold me by the leg and say, don't go to the church, stay with me. He would bar my exit from the house. Don't go, stay with me, stay with me. Now he's 20 and I scarcely see him. I get an obligatory phone call. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Where are you? Oh, I'm with my girl. Oh, yeah, okay, that's why you don't have no time for me. So I want to punish him. I do. I want to do things to create the environment so he has to call me. So So I just withhold his allowance. Then he got smart. He said, why don't you just put it in the bank for me automatically? And I'll get my MAC card to get it out. There was a time when he had to come and get it. Now it's not. Just put it in the bank, Dad. That's how you are with God. See, when you were first saved, he was Daddy. Oh, God, you talk to him about the kinds of shoes you should buy, the type of clothes you should wear. You talk to him about the food you should eat. You talk to him about everything. But now that you've gotten sophisticated in your Christian walk, he's Dad. And you call him when you want something. God says, when's the last time you spoke to me? Before I had to preach. Because I needed a message. You see, the key to ministry is not always getting a message. It's being able to read them. But why is all this going on? Pastor, where are you going with this? You see, Jesus didn't die just to save you. As awesome as that is, he didn't die just for that. If Jesus had died just to save you, then he would have taken you home. He would have taken you home when he saved you. Because you and I both know heaven is better than here. So just save us and take us home. No, he doesn't do that. He dies to get you access to God so that you can enjoy God in your everyday life. Do you understand? The Bible says you are salt. That means your life is supposed to make everybody else want God. You're to create a thirst in your family and friends' lives and even in your enemies' lives so they want what you're drinking. Some of you used to drink. You go into the bar and your friend will say, come on over. And they say, want a drink? You say, yeah, I'll have what they're having. You don't even know what they're having, but you know that they wouldn't have anything that's substandard. The world ought to look at us and say, I'll have what you're having. I don't know how you can give God praise when you just lost your job. I don't know how you can give him thanks when your medical diagnosis was negative. I don't know how you can have joy in the midst of a devastating situation. I'll have what you're having. I want the God that's guiding your life. But you and I are totally incapable of presenting that image to the world. Why? Because we're sinners. We were lost in sin, miserable individuals, full of ungodliness, without hope, and living a life of despair. And that's why so many of us look for ministerial outlets, things to make us feel important. Leadership. Watch. How many leaders do you know that don't serve? Or how many leaders do you know that once led but no longer serve? When you think you're too big to serve, you don't need to lead. Watch now, I'm going someplace. All of these negative things are not your fault. You didn't do anything to function in this capacity. It came with the genetic sin that Adam passed on. It's amazing. So Paul creates this image in 1 Corinthians that the church is immature, cliquish, and incapable of receiving the meatier things of God. Think with me now. If the world, the church world, I'll use the term church world speaking of the nation of Israel. If the nation of Israel were scattered, disjointed, without harmony and unity before the Holy Spirit, there's a passage in the book of Judges that says everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Amen. I like the Living Bible's translation. It says everybody just does whatever they want. All right. That results in chaos. Why? Because God is speaking and no one's listening. So everybody's doing whatever they want to do. So he starts out, if you notice this, he starts out with an apostolic prophet named Moses. Through Moses, he delivers his character, he delivers his rules, and he delivers his will. Through Joshua, he delivers the mindset of tenacity to take said promises and never allow the devil to take them from you. To be strong and of a good courage. To walk in those promises and realize your position and your possession. And never lose either. In Judges, we see the breakdown. There's no Joshua. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. What does that mean? Everybody hears from God for themselves. So, they're scattered. They're nuts. But something happens. It begins to come out towards the end of Judges into the book of Samuel. Something begins to happen. The children of Israel realize that this individual hearing from God is detrimental. They want a singular ruler. Why? Because you're created to submit to authority. You were created to do it. It was your parents' job to teach you, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. You were created to submit so that when God rescues you, you already know how to submit. You don't learn to submit to God when you're 50. Praise God, I just came to Jesus. I'm going to surrender to him as my Lord. Oh, no, the Lord is sitting in heaven shaking his head, said this is going to be a tough job because they never had a father in their life. They don't know what it means to surrender and submit. They were bounced from house to house. Their hearts are full of hatred and bitterness, so they don't know how to submit. So there's going to be a lot of tribulation. Which angel wants the job? And they're all going, not me. I had Eric. I can't be dealing with nobody else. I don't know. He was a handful for a long time. And so that's why you'll see people who come to Christ and in ministry, they don't submit. It's not because of the devil. They haven't been taught. And they're still walking in that old mindset. Paul teaches us something in Romans chapters 6 and 7. He talks about yielding members. He talks about surrendering yourself to ungodly choices. In short, Paul uses the eagle eye of the prophetic and says, in the 21st century, the people of God are going to be just like the people of the judges. They're going to do whatever they want to do. You ever notice how someone comes to the preacher, the pastor, for premarital counseling, but you already have a date? Why are you going to the counseling? What if you're not compatible? What if you really discover you don't like each other? Then the man or woman of God said, well, you know, I don't think this is a match made in heaven. I don't think the two of you should get married. But the devil is a lie. God told me that's my spouse. And usually it's more on the feminine side, not to disrespect women, but it's because women look for more of that connection and joining. So that's why when they have the sense that a man's going to marry them, they begin to feel accepted, loved, and comfortable. Hallelujah. I finally made it. Praise God. He sees it as bills and the loss of his lifestyle and the status. I mean, just look at how it works. A woman comes in a white, purchased gown. She paid good money for that. He has a black rented tuxedo. He won't even buy his own tux. He rents it. Lady, he's sending you a message. It's just how I view this thing. I'm renting you. All of these things come from the fallen nature. There's a yearning in you for connection, for companionship. The principal yearning is for companionship with God. But that's always hidden by the desire to do external physical things. People who find their joy in ministry miss their purpose for creation. You were created for God. All things were made by Him. By Him, nothing consists. Without Him, nothing exists. And everything's made for Him, by Him. And without Him, nothing exists. Now you are born again. You are saved. And in our culture, in the Pentecostal African-American culture, we find ourselves enjoying the ride without thinking of the purpose. We treat Christianity the same way we treat a roller coaster. Just get on it. Just go for it. Child, this feels great. No, Christianity is not a roller coaster ride. It is an assimilation into the life of God. We need help. Once you get saved, you're not ready to be called a Christian. You're a convert. I wasn't a man when I was 8. Contrary to what people say, when they look at the little guy, you know, your father just died. Okay, you're the man of the house. No, he's not. Don't throw that on his little shoulders. 8 years old trying to tell his mother what to do. I'm the man of the house. Why? Because if you put an unrealistic expectation on a child, they'll begin to act in ways that they can't support. You're not a Christian when you leave this altar. You're a convert. And it's our responsibility to teach you how to be a Christian. Not to preach you into a spiritual happiness, you know, where you just, oh, praise God, hallelujah, I felt God today. For what purpose? So here we have Judges. Everybody does whatever they want to do. How many of you right now are sitting in here reading a verse that I'm not reading? Right now, you're looking at another passage of Scripture while I'm getting ready to preach out of 2 Corinthians. Why are you doing what you want to do? Because God told me to. Why would God ever divide? See how simple things are? See, this is where He has me right now. See, I'm over here. Praise God. Then stay home. You don't go to a movie theater and take a DVD player. Everybody else is watching Angry Birds and you sitting up there watching Terminator. But why do we do it in church? Arrogance, pride, egotistical attitudes that say, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to listen to Him. He ain't God. No, but I'm God's man. And notice what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, we don't know anybody after the flesh anymore. That means I'm not trying to know your fleshly motivations. I can't sit around trying to ascertain why you do the things you do. It's too frustrating. I can't hunt in your garden of neurosis to try to find the schizophrenic apple. I can't push past your abused childhood to get to your insecure adult life. So I'm not going to know you that way. I'm not going to sit down and try to figure out Why are you so mean? My God, think about it. Come on, think with me. You're my 7:30 people. It's Memorial Day weekend. Let's have a party. A rattlesnake is a beautiful creature. I don't know why God made all snakes beautiful. If snakes were ugly, it would go along with their abilities, but they are beautiful creatures. My God. And that rattlesnake, shake that little tail. See, that's how you know rattlesnakes are lustful. They shake their tails. And it gets the attention. You ever notice it never gets the attention of a female? When females hear that shake, they run. But when men hear it, they turn around and look for it. Any first-time visitors here? Wave your hand as you walk out the door. But what is it that the rattlesnake uses? First, their beauty. It attracts you. You are momentarily stunned. Then they shake to keep your mind on the beauty. But while you're looking at the beauty, you're forgetting the fang. You're forgetting the fact that once they bite you, blood circulates through your body in 3.5 seconds. Once you are bitten, you dead. And the last thing you'll remember is that rattle and that beauty. Stop trying to know people after the flesh. Don't let what they are captivate you. Don't let the sounds of secular experience bewilder you to the point of capitulation. Don't get so wrapped up in the gift and ignore the capability. Jezebel does not come looking like a murderess. Had Delilah come to Samson like a Philistine, he would have resisted. But she came with her beauty, and he surrendered. We need help. Paul said, we don't know anybody after the flesh anymore. He said, but we've known Christ after the flesh. In other words, Jesus was in a fleshly body. But we don't know him that way anymore. We're not caught up with the need to have a physical representation of Jesus. We don't care what his color was. We're not wrapped up in a Western definition of Revelation chapter 1. We don't get all wrapped up in the curly hair and the red eyes and the need to make Jesus an ethnic representative. We don't know him that way. We know him spiritually. We know he's a present help in the time of trouble. We know that he's a God who loves me in spite of my characteristics and will extend mercy to me even when I do not deserve it. Stop trying to figure people out. Just pray for them. I know I have some people in leadership that are a challenge. God said, leave them there because they're a challenge for you. Stop trying to figure out, why is Pastor leave that person in there? And then why are they so spacey? I can't understand. There's something wrong with them. No, stop knowing them after the flesh. Pray for them. Because God is trying to teach you that when you struggle to know somebody after the flesh, that's to satisfy you. So he's going to leave that person exactly where they are. Let them continue to respond exactly the way that they are until it no longer bothers you. Hear me. You don't have to answer every call that comes on your cell phone. Nor do you have to respond to every email. I hope that liberates some of you. You ever notice how you feel that bondage when an email comes and you know you shouldn't open it, but it's just like words. You know, you say, I knew I shouldn't be saying this, but it just slides out. Your mouse just clicks right on that message, and you know it's going to devastate your day. You don't have to open it. I'm giving you permission to ignore it and then block it so it never comes back. Why? Because you don't want anything to hinder your joy. Don't let people email you that don't give you joy. Don't let people call you that don't give you joy. Don't let miserable people have access to your spirit. Don't let down people have access to your life. Don't let gossiping people have access to your soul. You have to guard your own heart. Watch now. Paul said, I don't know anybody like that anymore. In other words, I'm not trying to get to know you from the flesh. I'm not trying to dig into all that stuff and why are you this way and why are you that way. That's why I stopped over 80% of my counseling. I stopped. Because I don't need to do it. Pastor, you're supposed to help people. That's what I do for an hour and a half, three times on Sunday and sometimes four. Amen. It's real simple, saints. Let go of the past, embrace the future, enjoy the present. There's your counselor. Determine I'm not going to be this way anymore. I'm not going to dig into my fleshly desires, but I will surrender myself to God so he can purge away those things that don't belong.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
05516A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Preaching with specific purpose.
Break up your fallow ground, because the Lord is about to come and sow righteousness.
On July 16th, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., presiding bishop of the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, presents the 2016 Preaching Workshop. Workshop presenters will be Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., Dr. Wesley Pinnock, also Pastor Clement M. Lumpton III. Saturday, July 16th, 2016. The morning sessions will be from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. The afternoon session, 1:30 p.m. until 4 p.m. Topics will be preaching for evangelism, preaching for training, and preaching for sanctification. Registration includes materials and lunch. Call 215-885-2585, extension 314. 215-885-2585, extension 314. Register online at betheldeliverance.org. Plan now to be a part of the Preaching with Specific Purpose Workshop at the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship Churches on Saturday, July the 16th, 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincode, PA.